Coming to you live from St. Louis, Missouri.
It's the Faster Freedom Show.
With your hosts, Sam Prim and Lucas Wolf.
We're talking about freedom.
Faster Freedom Show. My name is Sam, and I'm excited to get the ball rolling on today's episode. We're going to do something a little bit different, as we always like to do. We like to experiment and have fun and try different things. We got a Q&A. We're going to go over beginner real estate investor questions. Now, I have a text community, which you should be a part of. You can see at the bottom of the screen, if you're watching, the scrolling shows the number. You can text that at any time. That's my number that gets you a part of my text community. But recently this morning, I asked that community, what are some questions that you have as a new real estate investor? So we have several of them we're going to go over in this episode. And also, if you're watching live on Facebook or YouTube or even X, ask your questions there and I will get to them as we go through this. So this is really just for you. This whole episode's about you, the audience, as new real estate investors or somewhat even experienced real estate investors. We're gonna walk through some questions. So text 314-804-3306, text that your questions, and we will pull them up and go through them, and worst case, you get to be part of our text community. So before we get the ball rolling on these questions, I wanna remind you about Freedom Fest. It is happening within a few weeks now in our office in St. Louis, May 9th and 10th in St. Louis. And no, I do not have the Masters on my phone next to me that I'm glancing at. So if you're wondering what I'm looking at, it is not the Masters and it is not on my phone to my left. Anyways, Freedom Fest in St. Louis, May 9th and 10th. Come hang out with me and my team for 2 days. It's like no other in-person event out there. It's a few $100, so super affordable. And we're going to walk you through everything that you personally need to do to start on your financial freedom journey. We're not parading up a bunch of celebrities and gawking at how they made all their money being actors or actresses or, musicians or, professional athletes. Like, that's cool to see the 10X shit, but it's not, like, helpful. What's helpful is, hey, you grew up in the Midwest, or hey, you went to college and started a job and you're trying to create real estate as a side hustle, turn into a full hustle. Like, I was where you are. My team is doing all that right now, so we can actually meet you where you're at and help you. So go to Freedom Fest, fasterfreedomfest.com. Get your tickets before they fill up. It's going to be in our office for 2 days, super intimate, super personal, and you're actually going to leave there with a plan that works specifically for you, not just some autographs from somebody who used to knock somebody else out while they were boxing. So that's what we got for Freedom Fest. Let's get into the question. So question one, coming from my man Timothy. The question's up on the screen, but I'm going to read it, obviously, for the radio audience. It's okay to start making deals without the proper business structure in place, i.e. holding company, trust company, or should everything be squared away with a lawyer first? Or should I get a lawyer involved with the first purchase? So this question is just getting at how much of your business needs to be set up before you take action. So the first answer is, take action. Nothing needs to be set up. There's people that don't have LLCs that get started buying rentals. There's people that don't have LLCs that flip and wholesale. Get started. Go out and look for deals, because it's not like you say, I want to go find a deal, so I'm going to find a deal tomorrow. It doesn't work like that. I would say if you're a beginner, it's going to take you 2 to 4 months to find your first deal. So start that process now. If you do stumble upon a deal and want to get legally set up, which I'm going to tell you about here in a minute, then you can, get an LLC set up within a few days if you really want to own it through the LLC, which would be my suggestion. So the first part of the answer is, go do deals. Now, go find deals, go network, go find contractors, go get yourself out there, go learn. Step number two, but at the same time, again, you don't have to wait, is I would set up an LLC. There's a couple reasons. You can do it for super, super cheap. I have a partner that will do it for you for a few $100. Most LLCs are $1,000 to $2,000. For a few $100, you can do it. So if you're interested in that, just DM me on Instagram, the letters LLC, and I will send you a link to schedule your call with them and learn about what they have to offer. They're incredible partners. So we can help you get through it. It's very simple and easy to do and very inexpensive if you can do it the right way. But the reason you would do that, in my opinion, is legally you're protecting your personal assets from your business assets. You have a layer of protection there. You're able to write more things off with an LLC more cleanly by having an LLC with a business credit card and a business debit card, a business checking account, everything that runs through that business, most of it is going to be write-offable. That's a word. So you'll help save money in taxes, and you can start to, which that partner I'm going to introduce you to does taxes as well, but you can start to write off like your cell phone bill and any mentorships or communities you get involved that you pay for to learn from. So it's really nice, like business side, like structurally and tactically as a business. But the most important reason I think you should set up an LLC is the mindset of it. So like if you are somebody that you know, is thinking about investing in real estate, but you are like, it's a side hustle, I'm busy, I got, you know, take kids to sports on the weekends, I'm working hard at my job, trying to get a promotion, doing this, doing that, like life gets in the way and it's just a side hustle dream. But if you want to like actually take action, you potentially could take more serious action if you have the mindset that you're a small business owner. Like once you set up an LLC, you're a small business owner, you're going to create a logo. You're going to create a Facebook business page, if not just any business page, or like a website. You're going to have business cards. You're going to, it's going to be more real. So it's no longer just a side hustle that you may be willing to do. It is an actual real thing, and you are a small business owner. And I personally think the more serious you take that, the better. So real quick, Pete Dahman asked on YouTube, I own 6 rentals, property, should I consider using cost segregation? Yes, I think you can. I've yet to do cost segregation because I just have so many other write-offs to not pay a dollar in taxes. So I think cost segregation is an option for you. I would DM me on Instagram as well, and I can send you my resource that can help you make that decision. But in general, I think if you want to pay no or less taxes, I would use cost seg, but you probably have a lot of other write-offs like depreciation thing that can help. So yeah, and I'd love to have you in the community to help you double those rentals. All right. So let's get on to, well, this is a big one. All right. Question number 2 from Alicia Willard. I want to bid on an online foreclosure auction. It looks like a great deal. Numbers look good, and the house from the outside looks solid. It's all brick, built in 2004. Love that for you. Looks clean, minus the grass is overgrown. However, the issue I'm running into is the auction company said we can't go through the house because it's still occupied. So my lender had a concern if it's occupied, if we're able to evict them in Illinois. The process takes a while, which would cost a lot in the holding costs, and I wouldn't be able to start my project right away. We are estimating it's going to be a quick turnaround, like a month and a half on updates. My question is, would you buy a house at auction if you can't walk the inside of the property? Well, you've already done that, so without the potential of somebody living there, which technically realist, it shows individual owns it and not the bank. So red flags for me, what would you do? All right, this got the numbers in there. Don't need to go over the numbers in general. Looks like it's potentially a good deal. So a couple things. It's really potentially risky to buy houses at auctions. We've done it a lot. We've done really well, and we've got bit a little bit by doing it because it's one of those things where like there's a lot of unknowns, as you kind of just alluded to. So I think it's a good strategy for someone that has the risk tolerance and has the cash to do it, but it is risky. We were able to get in some of most of the properties we ended up bidding on through various resources. You can go knock on the door and talk to the owner at the time. They know they're getting foreclosed on, off from $500 to walk through the property, or you know, bring a pizza or something. Or sometimes the properties are vacant and you can wiggle your way in some way, shape, or form. So those are my kind of initial first thoughts on yes, it's a little bit more risky. That being said, some things you can do now is you can offer the seller or the homeowner. Sorry, I apologize. They're not meaning to sell, but they technically are. You can offer the homeowner cash for keys. Offer them $2,000 to move out in the next week. They sign a sheet of paper. You show up a week later. You know that they're willingly deoccupying the property, and you give them $2,000 cash, or $1,000, or even $5,000 to help with your holding costs. So there is Tiger just missed a putt, but there is a lot of different options. It's risky, but worth it to a certain degree. And then cash for keys is a huge thing that I think could potentially benefit you in this scenario. So a lot to kind of look at there. But in general, love that you're going and getting it. Love that you're going and getting it for sure. So that's my answer to that question. Text 314-804-3306 your questions. And then if you're on YouTube or X or Facebook, ask away, ask your questions. Let me know where you're from. Let's interact. We're just doing a fun Q&A. Today's episode's all about yous. All right. Question number Trace from my man Aldo. Do one of your contracts that is used when wholesaling can it be also used for buying direct from the homeowner? Yes. So most wholesale contracts are with the homeowner. The homeowner, you get a property under contract to purchase from the homeowner. It's a purchase contract. And then within that contract, there is a assignment clause that allows you to assign or sell that contract over to somebody else. And then somebody else will, bless you, somebody else will go ahead and get that ball. Whoever's buying it from you will have a contract, or you can just do another wholesale contract that assigns it over. So good question. But in general, yeah, you're going to use you're using a purchase sale contract when you're wholesaling, and then you're just wholesaling that contract on. Great. All right. Next question from Massimo. How long after you reno house can you take go to the bank and get an 80% loan to value? 1 year minimum or sooner? Great question. So if you buy a property and fix it up, how quickly can you do a refinance? It depends, of course, depending on the lending partner you're going with. If you're going with like a traditional style bank, some of them will make you wait a year because they're going to do a Fannie or Freddie type of loan to you personally. But if you're purchasing through an LLC with a small local bank, you can do it as soon as you get the lease signed. Usually sometimes they'll make you wait 2 or 3 months. It all depends on the relationship you have built with them. Like when I got started, one bank would refinance as soon as the tenant moved in, another bank would refinance as soon as I showed them a lease, even if the head tenant had moved in, and another one would do it after 3 months of having a tenant in place. Now, since then, I've built my relationships up and refinance rental properties. Lucas and I refinance our rental properties before we even get the tenant listed or rent or anything. As soon as it's done, the appraiser goes, looks at it, we get it refinanced because we want to get out of that short-term cash. So it depends. There's like most answers, but if you build a relationship, it can be right away. If at first you might have to have a couple months, but if you're talking year or more, that is 100% some type of more traditional type funding process, and that's fine. But obviously that's probably not realistic to have to wait a year. So there's the answer there. Good, really good question. All right. So the next question is from Jeremy Cartier. Bryson hit his putt. Hi, I want to buy my first rental in 2024. What is the first thing you would set in motion? So there are a couple things that I would do if I were you, Jeremy, to start investing in. What's up? Hi, Lucas from Miami. Are you ever going to come back, Walls, or are you just going to move down there? There's a couple things that I would do if I want to buy my first rental property. There's a couple things that most investors do when they are looking to buy their first rental property. So the first step is getting a base level of knowledge, which you're doing now. I know it sounds simple, but you need this step. You need to understand the difference between double close and assignment. What is ARV? How do you run comps? What's the difference between a midterm, short-term, and long-term rental? Just get a base level of knowledge. This is probably the best place you can go do that here on the Faster Freedom Show, on a lot of my on all my other platforms. But obviously, I can teach you more on this podcast and this YouTube channel because we go into more detail. Like if I made a short about this, no one would watch it. That's the first thing, a base level of knowledge. Step two is getting involved in your community. So joining your local Facebook groups, joining your local meetups. Jeremy, my man, I don't know where you're at, but I guarantee there's a meetup or a Facebook group or both in your town, in your city. So you need to go connect with people, shake hands of the people that are actually doing deals, make connections with contractors, banks, lenders, all those people. Go to meetups. So go to virtual meetups via Facebook groups, and then go to in-person meetups, and then get involved in a community, because you're not going to do this alone. And if you really want to do this efficiently the right way, you need to get some type of mentorship, some type of paid coaching program. Now obviously I have one, but it doesn't have to be mine. But all the successful people in the world that I have ever met all pay for some type of coaching, because I pay $100,000. I do all right for myself, but I pay $100,000 a year to be involved in masterminds and mentorships and coaching programs of people above my level. And if I learn 2 or 3 things from them that I can, double or triple that income, then it's well worth it. I help students all the time get their first rental, and they do it faster. They do it more efficiently. They rehab it the right way. They turn it quicker. They get a better tenant. They get a higher appraisal. Like all of that money adds up, even if you're spending a little bit of money on a community. Again, mine's great. There's other good ones out there. Not as many as you think, but there are some good ones out there. But if you are willing to swallow your pride and ego and pay for somebody else's knowledge, you can just be super efficient and effective, and they can just keep you out of the gutters, which most people don't ever end up starting because they don't know where to start, where to go, and they get derailed a little bit and they lose hope. That's the beautiful thing about a mentor and a coach. They can help keep you in the lane. All right, so we got a question online from IC170 on YouTube. New Orleans looking to get investing in real estate, currently living in a duplex, fully own and rent one side. So I just kind of went over that a little bit. Great question. Hand purple blue piece. I don't know what Ginger's saying there, but IC170. I just kind of went over that. But in general, yes, community knowledge and mentorship is what I would do. Like, you can do whatever you want. But I don't know anybody that gets involved in a coaching program that takes action that regrets it. All right, Tigers Drive. Okay, on to the next one. We got Mr. James, or maybe he goes by Jimmy. Croughton, how can I find a deal, preferably near me so I can see my investment? I love that. I think that's a good way to go about it. I think if you can invest in your backyard, ideally do that. So I like that. There's a ton of different ways to do it. So it sounds like your home's 100% paid for. You can use your equity via a home equity line of credit. James, my man, you need to be involved in the community, probably the Faster Freedom one, because we have students that are flipping and wholesaling and buying rentals all at the same time. And most of them don't have a paid off house that helps them. So you have a huge advantage. Huge. Say your house is worth $400,000. You can easily get a $300,000 line of credit that costs you $500,000 to set up, and you're not charged unless you're using it. You can be your own bank. You can buy a deal 100%. So how do you find those deals? The couple of places. The first place I would go and look would be local wholesalers. So if you're looking to buy five houses or less, I think you can get all five of them sourced from local wholesalers. We buy 30 to 40 houses a year from wholesalers, and we're usually wholesaling it again, so you can beat me out. If me and you are on a deal and we're going to the same wholesaler, I can offer X because I need to market up and sell it. If I'm not keeping it as a rental, you can offer probably more and maybe get it because you're going to keep it. So wholesalers are the number one place. You find wholesalers at local meetups, local Facebook groups. Yes, I'm going to be broken record talking about those things. It's because they work. They continue to work, and they will always continue to work, because somebody that's willing to drive to a local meetup, they're active people there, whoever hosting it's probably a big player in your town, and they're willing to get outside of their little bubble in their room under the covers, doom scrolling TikTok. They're willing to go out and do things and meet people and shake hands and be uncomfortable and get behind a wheel and go actually meet people. So meetups, you can find a ton of them. Those little bandit signs you see on the side of the road that say "We buy houses," those are all wholesalers. If you're not driving, snap a picture of it and text or call them later. Look, Google house buying companies in my area. If you Google house buying companies St. Louis, Faster House, my flipping company will show up. We pay a lot of money to show up, and we wholesale 200 houses a year. We sell all the time to investors that buy it, fix it up, make 70, 80 grand on their flip. People that keep rentals, people that take them and just list them. So there's wholesalers in every mid to large size market. They are either just like kind of the mom and pop ones that do it on their own on the side, or the professional companies like mine that you can go to find houses from, or you can go to buy houses from. So wholesalers, number one. Real estate agents, number two. Now, real estate agents are interesting. A majority of them don't know what they're talking about. The other small percentage that do, as far as investing goes, I guess I'd like to say, as far as investing goes, the other ones that know what they're talking about on the investing side, they are going to really separate themselves with all these changes with the commission laws and with everything going on. Oh, what a shot, Tiger Woods. Woo, woo, let's go. They are in the business all the time, and the ones that are going to survive with this commission change are the ones that know real estate investing. So if you know a real estate investing friendly real estate agent, get to know them, be their buddies, and they're going to start to bring you deals. They're fixer-uppers, the ones that are hard to sell. They're not going to bring you every deal because you don't want every deal. You want the ones that have some meat on the bone, and they'll bring them to you if you get to know them a little bit. And there's going to be a ton of wholesalers leaving the industry here with all the changes going on. So those are the top two places, wholesalers and real estate agents. Then there's things like driving for dollars, buying lists, texting, cold calling. I can help you with all that as too. I don't want to go into too much detail, spend too much time on this question. But if you're listening and want some like free trials to resources that can provide leads for you, just message me on Instagram, say looking for leads or something, and I'll send you some free resources. But there's apps and there's programs and software that can help you find deals. Of course, they cost money. What's up, Derek from New York? They cost money, of course, right? And then they take time and energy. So the wholesale is the easy button, but sometimes it takes 6 months to develop a relationship with multiple wholesalers. So do wholesalers and agents. And then if you need leads now, then paying a little bit of money for some lead providers is a good option. I actually even have somebody that you pay them money and they give you a lead directly. Hi. So that's that question. Thanks, James, Jimmy Croughton. My mom's calling. We're going to ignore that. Sorry, Jill. Don't you know I'm on my podcast right now, Jill? All right, what do we got? What's the next question? Matthew, Mateo is what I call him. What is the most effective way to break the Airbnb market and to break into the Airbnb? That was like, how do you break a market? What is the most effective way to break into? I literally have not seen these questions till right now, if you can't tell. What is the most effective way to break into the Airbnb market? And what type of creative financing strategy would you use to purchase your first place? Great question. So I don't know that I would tell you to break into the Airbnb market right now. Depending on your area, it is very, very oversaturated. There are way more Airbnbs out there than there are people looking for Airbnbs, at least on a consistent basis. Of course, you find an Airbnb, there's going to be hot months. If you're down in Florida, it's going to be hot in the summer. There are good opportunities to, you know, get Airbnbs in certain areas, but it's the consistency and the overall viability of them has decreased every year since before 2020. But 2020, we had a boom of travel. Americans have never traveled more as a percentage of capita than they did in 2021 and 2022 after the COVID things were lifted. So America, that was a travel boom that we've never seen in history, and I don't know that we'll ever see again. That was part of the Airbnb, you know, tailwinds. So I don't know what I'd say, Airbnb, but what I'd tell you to do if you want to get creative would be, what's up, Ginger? Thank you for the agreeance. What I would do, I would tell you to get in the midterm rental market. It's literally the exact opposite of the Airbnb short-term rental market. Midterm rentals, you run out to traveling nurses, you run out to corporate leases, you run out to insurance claim leases. They are rented out on usually a 3 to 6 month lease, and you can charge double the rent. I have a midterm rental program. If you're interested in, just DM me on Instagram. But it is like literally a midterm rental. I have some that you know, I have an apartment complex as well as standalone that you can rent for $1,500 right now. 2-bedroom, 1-bath, St. Louis. You rent long term rental $1,500. You get it every month, but like we're cash flowing $85. But if you rent that thing on a midterm basis to a traveling nurse, because it's near a hospital and they get stipends to pay and they make a lot of money and they work their butts off when they travel, we're able to get $2,500 to $3,000 a month. Minimal increase in expense, maximum exposure in extra rent collected. So that exact unit I'm talking about went from $85 a month in rent to like $600 a month in rent. So midterm rentals, unlike short-term rentals, the supply, there's about 200,000 midterm rentals on Furnished Finder right now. There's about 2 million traveling nurses that need midterm rentals. Obviously, some stay with relatives, but very few. And then there is, I don't know the exact numbers, not out there, but hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of corporate leases, you know, digital nomads and things that need property. So you're going to have what is in very limited supply if you get in the midterm rental game. And what I would use to buy them would be the BRRRR strategy, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and sell. If you don't know about it, I talk about it all the time. Make sure you're following me and whatever platform you're listening, watching, and share this episode with a friend if you wouldn't mind, because this is, I feel like, just straight, like, dropping bombs kind of thing as far as in a good way. I think that's Bradley's podcast, but just dropping really, really quality knowledge bombs, let's say, to keep it PC. But make sure to share this episode with friends, and it helps me a ton. Shares are huge. Whatever platform you're watching, share it now. If you're listening on, you know, on podcast platforms or watching this YouTube after the fact, share this with a friend. I would really, really appreciate that. What platform is that on? All of them or just YouTube? Okay, nice. So share this. Let's get more people watching. I feel like I'm literally just vomiting information to you to help you move the needle. And these are legit questions from people. So make sure to share this and like it and rate it and all this stuff if you're watching it after the fact. So I have allergies. Yeah, a little bit of allergies right now. I don't know what's going on. I've had people in the office tell me last couple of days I got these cliffhangers hanging out of my nose, so, which is not a usual thing for me, but I've had more of them in the past week than probably the past 6 months. So I guess I'm fighting a little something, whether it be a cold or allergies, but I will be doing all right. Thanks for the concern, Ginger. So we're going to get to Ernie's kitchen question here in a minute. I want to round that one out. Then we'll get to some questions. Keep them coming on you know, YouTube or Facebook if you want, or X. That's where we're streaming live on. So to round out Matthew's question, I would use the BRRRR method. Look it up. It's very, very powerful. I have a ton of information on it. I have a whole community that you know, that Morgan's in and people are in, that I help them find deals, my team help them find deals, and then we tell them either wholesale or flip it or keep it as a midterm, long-term, or short-term rental. So we navigate the market together, and we give you the best options and exit strategies based on the deals you bring our way. So crazy value. If you have interest in that, you see the bottom of the screen, free rental webinars flashing across there, or just go there if you're listening, and check out some more free training and resources and a chance to hop on the phone with my team. And Tiger's got an eagle putt coming up, so if I stop talking, you know why. All right, so let's get to Ernie's kitchen question. So started in real estate in STL. Great, love it. STL represent. I have the opportunity to buy my own house, currently rent. Do you recommend conventional loan for the BRRRRs? I think it depends. I think conventional loan is fine for the BRRRRs. You're going to get locked in for 30 years. You're going to know your interest rate. So I think that's fine if you can. That's going to hit your personal credit every time, so you can't scale with that. But your first one conventional, I think, is fine if you want to do the commercial at a small local bank. I think that's fine too. So either one I think is fine, but great question. Thank you, Morgan, saying she sees value out of the community. And Tiger's eagle putt, no way, goes in. Oh, that's like the fifth putt he's left short. What the they're not going to go in if they go short. Tiger, learn how to putt. All right, okay. Ellie, Miss Cobb, have you ever bought any pre-foreclosures? If so, was it hard to get the bank to agree to the sale before the courthouse date? What's your scripts to get owners to talk to you? So we're going to break those out a little bit. We have bought pre-foreclosures, not a ton, though, so I'm not going to pretend to be an expert at something I'm not. If you follow any of my content, you know that's kind of what I am or how I do things. But we bought pre-foreclosures and short sales and things like that. You just have to work with the agent that has a listing or the bank that owns the property, and it's not hard. You just got to have the conversation with them. They want it off their books. It's being pre-foreclosed. The bank does not want that property on their books. They don't want to take back that loan. So just work through the banks with that. And our scripts to talk to owners, I'm going to take this a little bit broader. Hold on. The DJ Tronic, we shouldn't refinance BRRRRs with a conventional loan. You can. There's conventional loans and there's commercial loans. So I'll get back to that. I don't want to derail this question too hard. If you are wanting to like talk to home sellers, there's a couple things that I would say. The approach that I kind of take, and hopefully you're liking this video, whether you're watching on YouTube or Facebook. If you feel like you get any knowledge, like this damn thing and X and share this, because I feel like I'm giving some really good advice that I feel like I'm just like I'm like converting to like student mode, where like the students that pay me good money, the things I tell them, I'm telling you. So what we do when we talk to home sellers, the big thing is when you're in a house with a distressed, gosh, Scotty Scheffler's good at golf. When you are in a house with a distressed home seller, it's a sticky situation. There's a reason you're there. 90-something% of houses sell on the traditional market to, you know, people that are moving in, traditional banks, traditional loans, all of those things. Those are fine situations. There might be some emotion going on, but if you're involved as a real estate investor, they're in a really, really hairy, sticky situation. They need your help. You're providing a great service. The house and or the seller is distressed, probably both. So how we approach sellers is we're very, very, and it works, we're very, very casual. We're very, very supportive. We don't talk crap on the house. You walk through the house, it smells like cat pee. There's smoke stains on the wall. You remove a picture, you can see, you know, the nicotine stains. There's animals living in it. It's a hoarder house. There are people that are selling it or inheriting it know that. Don't like, hey, man, there's a crack in the foundation. That my offers just went down. Holy crap, it's going to take several coats of paint to get this stuff out. That my offer is going to go down. Like, don't do that. And I see people do that all the time. Don't even talk about the house. They know the house is screwed up. Talk about them. What solution can you provide them? We buy a lot of houses where we're not the highest offer because we offer solutions like, hey, leave everything as it is, or hey, you can stay for 2 weeks after closing to get all your stuff out, sign like a agreement saying you'll get out kind of thing. So we just provide solutions prior to giving the offer, and so that's having that approach I think will help without going into too much detail. All right, so the DJ Natronic, you can use any type of loan you want with the BRRRRs deals. You're only allowed 10 conventional loans in your life. So if you have a conventional loan with your personal house, you got 9 more. If you want to do a conventional residential loan on a BRRRRs, you can. Your personal credit is getting hit every time. So that is a huge part about it. You can do that. It's just not scalable, and it's kind of personally draining. That's why I usually go commercial, LLC funded. All right, let's go to Greg Asselin. Let's get to that question. Please help me out. So sorry, I see the Africa stuff. I don't know anything about Africa or Europe or Australia even. I don't know anything about how to invest in other markets besides the U.S. and Canada. And it's for people that say they do, I think it's unethical. Obviously, the concepts of leverage and buying at discounts and rehabbing work everywhere, but I can't help anybody out in the market if they're not investing in the U.S. So we'll get into Cameron's question for sure. All right, but the question here from Mr. Greg asks, Alin, as a new investor, after getting signed up with wholesalers, they appear to send all the good deals to their established investors who do more deals. How do you become one of those? Great question, Greg. So what Greg is getting at is, hey, I'm out doing what you said, Sam, you knucklehead. I'm going and meeting wholesalers, but they have a list of, you know, preferred cash buyers that they've worked with for years. How do I break through that cycle? Well, there's a couple things to do. One is be patient. This takes time. The whoever they're working with, it took them a while to build that relationship. So just stay around, stick around. Not everybody can do every deal. Not everybody can fund every deal. So just be patient is one thing that I would tell you for starters. Just know that it's going to take some time. That's why I say build relationships with wholesalers, real estate agents at the same time. Befriend them, get to know them, provide value, give offers on everything they give you. Just continually get in front of them. Our acquisitions reps, every like 2 weeks, they're texting their connectors that they're trying to build relationships with just to stay top of mind. So that's a big part of it. And then the other thing is you take control of your lead sources. We talked about them earlier, Drive for Dollars, which I have an app that I can give you a free trial for. Or, send out mass mailings or, you know, put out bandit signs. Take control of your lead flow. It's going to cost you a little bit of money. But ideally, you're building long-term wealth while you're fixing and flipping. You're building long-term relationships while you're buying leads. So that you can do both at the same time, and it's not too hard to juggle, I promise you. So there's my questions for you, Greg. So a couple more questions on here. By the way, does everybody like this Q&A style? We can kind of rock this a little bit more. I feel like we're rocking and rolling. If you like this, share this episode. I don't ask for it enough. I'm going to start to do that route because we need more people to be shared. So like this, whatever platform you're on, if there's a like button, hit the damn thing. It takes you half a second and your little bitty finger. So just push that damn like button and then share this if you're feeling frisky and want to provide value to other people. Those that provide more value usually receive more in return. All right, so Kings, but a thank you, not a question, but a thank you. Derek, so Kings Scandal, 18 years old. My dad doesn't want me to get into debt because he says it's too risky. Is your dad Dave? Is your dad's name Dave? Would it be better to raise money from private lenders and give them small ownership of the property? There's no wrong way. Or there is wrong ways. That's bad. There's wrong ways to do it, but there's no like one way to do it. So that's a great option. Give the if you're young and your dad doesn't want you to get in debt because it's scary, I get it. Debt is kind of the way the world works if you want to grow and scale and retire before you're 65. It's a great option. Get a private lender involved with money, with credit, and then give them 50% ownership, 20% ownership, whatever it is. Make it work till you start to build and give you and your dad a comfortable feeling with that. Mahoma is playing some golf. Cameron asked, what is a good loan to remodel your house? So if you want to remodel your personal house, I don't know if it's getting a loan for that. HELOC is probably kind of your only option. But if you are getting a loan to like rehab a rehab house that you're going to sell, you got a home equity line of credit, you got a 401k. If you have one, you can borrow against your own 401k. You can raise money from a private lender that has an IRA. Maybe you can do if you have like a CD maturing, but just getting some extra funds for, I don't know if you're talking rehab or your house investment house. So cool. All right. So Derek says, Sam, after reading your book, taking full advantage of Faster Freedom, Wealth, and Information, I'm on contract for my second property. Look at that. Somebody screenshot that. I need to take a picture of it right now. My dude, Derek, you don't need the community, but I'm telling you, you think there's value in the book? That ain't nothing compared to actually working with my team on a daily basis, having coaching calls, one-on-one calls, everything you need. But thank you, Derek. Derek's taking action. He's taking action based on the information that I'm giving him, and he's making it happen. I love it. You're the man. All right, so a couple more questions, and then we'll roll up out of Chia. Again, if you like this, share this with a friend. Like this video. Is it annoying that I asked it? I'm asking it again. Maybe. Is there a lot of free good information here? Yes. So should you shut up? Yes. All right, Jimmy Yee, what do you think about getting a bunch of businesses with credit cards 0 for 12 to 18 liquidated in them? That we have a program for that. We have that exact program inside of our community and other programs. So if you want to get that, I think it's beautiful. Liquidating credit cards at 0% is a beautiful thing. You get free money, basically, and you have to usually pay a fee to do that, but it's like paying a private lender once, and then you get free money after that. Having access to $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 makes you so dangerous. You can pay for a mentorship. You can pay for a community. You can learn more by being more dangerous as far as paying for a seminar, or you can just have access to funds for rehab or a down payment with a hard money lender. It just makes you super, super dangerous in a good way. Cool. And any other questions? How do you find private lenders? We're going to round it out on this one. So how do I find private lenders? So you find private lenders by knowing where to look to find private lenders. Because everybody who's watching, give me a thumbs up if you know a private lender, thumbs down if you don't know a private lender. And everybody that put their thumbs down is they're not lying, but they just understand. So most people don't find private lenders or can't find private lenders or take a while to find private lenders because they don't know where to look. This is like, I'm like literally watching and talking. This is a good way to do it. It just keeps me on my toes. But private lenders are normal, everyday people. If you think a private lender is a rich parent, a rich aunt, a rich uncle, somebody with $10 million in the bank, then you are looking in the wrong spot. Somebody's got $10 million in the bank, ain't worried about your $75,000 rehab funds or your $250,000 funding deal. They got money all over the place. They got $10 million in the bank. They probably got $100 million in loans because they know that leveraging wealth is the way to create wealth. But in general, private lenders are like a typical private lender. Of course, they vary, but a typical private lender is somebody in their late 40s, early 50s. They have, been working at the same job-ish for 15, 20 years. They have kids in high school. They've been living at that same house for 20 years, like I said. So they have equity in their house that they can do a HELOC. And they're the conservative type of investor. They're somebody that wants a diversified retirement fund. They see retirement around the corner and they want to diversify. They have stocks, they have 401ks, they have IRAs, but they're willing to diversify some of that and give you 50, 75, 100 grand because you have a relationship with them. They're accountants, they're engineers, they're insurance agents, they're police officers, there's teachers, they are entrepreneurs, they're software engineers, they're architects. I'm just naming my private lenders because they're all just normal jobs. There's a couple of big whales in there, but a majority of them probably make $80,000 to $150,000 a year, probably have $150,000 to $300,000 in an IRA, $100,000 to $150,000 in a 401k, a CD or something. Like, they're not people with tons of money. They just have some money out there that they're willing to diversify and kind of cornhole and set aside for you to give them another diversified income stream. So having conversations with those people is the right conversations to have. Cool. Thanks for watching, everybody. Appreciate it. If you like this, again, share this episode with a friend. Like this. Make sure to check me out on all podcast platforms as well as all social media platforms. We appreciate you very much. Thanks for being here. I have a book out called Own Your Freedom, $5 on Amazon. Check it out. Freedom Fest coming up May 9th and 10th. I have a community of like-minded investors that help each other every single day. If you have interest in any of that, just shoot me a DM on Instagram, and we are out.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope you got some major value from our conversation. If you love what you learn, make sure you like, rate, review the show, and help us spread the word by telling a friend.
If you'd like to learn more about working with me inside one of my programs, we'll have those links in the show notes, along with all our social media handles, so you connect with us there for free. If there's a real estate question you'd like us to answer, feel free to send us a message, and we'll cover it in an upcoming show.